Are the Chinese online retail giant Alibaba's investments in bricks and mortar paying off, and compensation for gold miners in South Africa suffering incurable lung diseases?
You can no longer breathe anymore, and they normally die of cardiac failure or suffocation.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. U.S. and Chinese trade officials end their first round of meetings in Beijing today, with everyone still worried about a possible trade war. One company keeping tabs is Alibaba, based in China, but listed on the New York Stock Exchange. Terry von Biebra is the company's general manager for Europe.
You want to increase trade, and to increase trade, you need to make it easy. So I would certainly advise anyone, be it a government or anyone else, to say, how do I make it easier to trade? Not more difficult. As a company, you have to react to what governments decide to do and how markets develop. Neither of those are under your control as a private company. So what we're doing is we have many, many different ways for consumers and companies to participate in going to China or buying products from China. So our best preparation is simply to have as many opportunities as possible to help companies and consumers do cross-border trade.
Alibaba releases fiscal fourth quarter earnings today. The e-commerce giant has made big investments in physical retail, worrying investors about the effects on profit margins. But Mr. von Biebra believes physical and online retail can coexist.
A lot of people see it as online growth being a problem for bricks and mortar as opposed to an opportunity. Consumers don't think about online and offline. Consumers think about their personal wants and needs and which brand or retailer is going to give them the best price, best selection experience. It's always about how am I delivering value to my consumer. I do not believe that the high street is dying out. The high street is changing. The companies that will die out who do not use that change to deliver a better value proposition to their consumers, they have a problem.
Terry von Biebra. Let's do the numbers. It's a mixed picture for global stocks as investors await clear developments from the trade talks in Beijing. Asian stocks ended lower while shares in Europe are mostly higher. Oil is on track for weekly gains as Iran calls for the U.S. to honor commitments made in the 2015 nuclear deal. A host of mining companies have agreed to pay out millions in compensation to tens of thousands of mostly black South African miners who contracted incurable lung diseases. The BBC's Milton Nkosi has more from Johannesburg.
This agreement, with compensation funds of nearly $400 million set aside, is the biggest class action lawsuit in the history of South Africa and one of the most complex in the world. It must still be ratified by the Johannesburg High Court later this year. Mining companies, including Anglo American, Gold Fields and Harmony Gold, failed to protect thousands of miners from lung diseases such as silicosis and TB caused by breathing in silica-laden dust. The South African Minister of Health welcomed the agreement.
The BBC's Milton Nkosi. Georgina Jeffson is an attorney with Richard Spohr, one of the three law firms representing the gold miners. They've set up a trust to administer compensation.
What happens is your lungs just slow down. You can no longer breathe anymore. And they normally die of cardiac failure or suffocation. There's been a concerted effort made by the industry over the last 10 years to improve the dust levels underground. The idea of the trust is that there won't be any more litigation for silicosis in the future, but I think Richard Spohr, my boss, is planning to institute similar litigation against the coal mines in South Africa and possibly others in the future as well.
Georgina Jeffson. Pretty much as I speak, a separatist conflict in Spain is coming to an official end at a peace conference in neighboring France. No, not Catalonia, where an independence referendum set off political turmoil last year. These are the Basque separatists in northern Spain, whose armed group ETA conducted a violent 60-year campaign for independence, which killed 850 people. The BBC's Guy Hedgecoe breaks down the economics of the region.
The Basque economy is unusual in that in the early 1980s, shortly after Spain made the transition to democracy, the regional Basque government made a very concerted decision to focus very specifically on research and development and on high-tech industry because they felt that was the best direction for them to go in, given their geography and their population. And for the most part, that has been very successful. I mean, the Basque Country has an industrial tradition based on metals and mining and so on. So what they did was they took that tradition and updated it. And they focused very much over the last 30 years on high-tech engineering, producing car and vehicle parts, machine tools. They're very big in the aerospace sector. As a result, for example, their unemployment is much lower than the rest of Spain. It's around 11% at the moment, which sounds quite high, but in the rest of Spain, it's much higher than that.
And how is peace going to impact that successful economy?
It's hard to tell. I mean, you have to bear in mind that ETA actually declared a definitive ceasefire back in 2011. ETA has not killed since 2010. It's interesting that in 2004, a report was issued saying that over the previous 30 years, the Basque economy had lost a quarter of its value due to ETA and the violence in the region. I think since then, the Basque economy has done extremely well in the circumstances. And there is a feeling that certainly the symbolism of the end of ETA can only be good for the Basque economy in terms of inspiring confidence and bringing more investment.
Guy Hedgeco. Finally, it's World Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. Get it? May the 4th? Okay. And as royal wedding fever grips Britain, decades-old slices of royal wedding cakes are expected to fetch thousands at auction. But don't expect to have your frozen cake and eat it. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.